God is so good. And as they say, He's good all the time. All the time He's good. Amen. I've seemed to have fallen into the apostles right now, talking about the apostles. And the last time I was here, we talked about the true Peter and the false Peter. But today's topic is Andrew. Andrew. And I think we can learn something from humble little Andrew. Shall we pray? Father, help us this time to do Your will and in bringing out exactly what it is that You want us to know and to put into practice as we barrel on down the road towards eternity. We see so many things happening, and there's so many ways that we can be distracted and knocked off the rails, as that train was in California, Lord, simply because somebody didn't do something right and wasn't paying attention. Lord, we want to pay attention to Your Word and to Your what the Holy Spirit would want us to know this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the name Andrew, of course, means manly. And, you know, Peter meant a stone. And two brothers can be so different. Live in the same house, have the same parents, and, you know, do the same kind of lifestyle and come up totally different. Just anybody that has brothers, right, Derek, knows the fact that a brothers can be great, but they also can be quite an annoyance. And if you happen to have sisters, that's another story. But Andrew and Peter seemed to get along pretty good. They went into business together, followed the family, the business. You know, a lot of I visit a lot of businesses that have generations that have gone before them, and they're still in the family business. Well, the family business for Andrew and for Peter or Simon was fishing. And I used to love to fish. But I don't find any purpose in doing it anymore since I don't eat the things. I think it's an exercise in futility now, but I used to love to sit by the brookside or by the side of the pond and put my worm on my hook and go and throw it in and see what I could come up with. And it was kind of a thrill to get that little monster on the end, pull him in and say, I got you, I got you. But when Jesus came into the scene, when he finally, after meeting them a few days or months earlier, after finally meeting Andrew and Peter, he saw them in their boat one day, and he called them and said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I often have this idea in my mind that we're fishing for men. So until... it's kind of fun, the idea of a fish getting in the boat and becoming a man. I have this kind of strange way of thinking, but you're fishing, and then when that person is caught, then he is a disciple. And I want to make disciples, don't you? I want to find folks that want what we have and give it to them. I don't want to go bother people that don't want it. And sometimes you don't know. When you're in a crowd of people, you don't know who wants it and who doesn't want it. But something about Jesus attracted Andrew. Andrew was interested in spiritual things. And I know Peter was too, but it wasn't apparent in Peter until Andrew went and got him. Andrew and John, and I took most of my thoughts out of the Gospel of John because John was the other disciple when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Andrew and John were John the Baptist's disciples. They had already shown an interest in what was to come later. They'd already been baptized by John. They'd already become interested in things to come. And the way that we get interested in what we are in today is somebody piques our curiosity. We hear something, we read something, and we are attracted to that. And what it was that John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And something in the heart of Andrew and John said, "Whew, this is what we've been waiting for. We've been down here with John the Baptist, and we've been learning all this, and he's saying somebody's coming, and when he comes, he's going to be greater than this John, and John's a pretty great fella, but somebody greater than John, whoever he is, when he comes, I'm following him." And we preach today that Jesus is coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is coming. And get yourself ready and get to know what it is that we need to know so that when Jesus comes, we'll be ready for him. So here's Andrew and here's John. They're ready. They're just waiting for Jesus to be pointed out. And, well, you know, one of the character traits of Andrew, and some of the character traits of Andrew, was he was humble, he was unassuming, he was devoted, and he was consistent. Those are good kind of people to have around, aren't they? And courtesy of John, the Apostle John, who just says he was there, but he points out Andrew as the first called, but they both met Jesus at the same time. And actually, the first one in the Scripture who was actually, the words were used and were written in the Scriptures about "follow me," was Philip. That's the first one that the words "follow me" were said to as far as the Scriptures are concerned. But really, Andrew is called the first called. The Gospel of John shows the order of acquaintance, and the words "follow me" were spoken at various times. And actually, when they first met Jesus, they weren't totally committed to him. But notice, if you're reading in the Gospel of John, there's a sequence of things. Andrew immediately went home and found his brother. He's excited. After he had spent the day or whatever with Jesus that first day, the second day he went home and he was talking with his family and friends. He says, "Come, Peter," or Simon, he called him at the time. He wasn't Peter then. He says, "We found the one that is called the Messiah." And then Peter came along. And the third day went by. And on the third day, guess what happened? There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And you know, that was a great wedding. That's where some of these future disciples saw that first miracle of Jesus, where Jesus took an ordinary commodity, water, and transformed it into wine. And not only did he transform it into wine, but he transformed jar after jar after container, enough to take care of a whole wedding out of water. The character traits of Andrew were to come into play later on because he remembered it later on when it was needed. See, I think Jesus made the acquaintance of a lot of these disciples first. And you know, there's different... the other three Gospels say that he met Peter and Andrew in their boat and called them. But John says, no, it was this way, this way, this way, and this way. There's no contradiction there. The storytellers tell it differently, but these two came first. Now, the story that I'm referring to about later on was when they had a big crowd of people, over 5,000 people, and they had stayed with Jesus all day and for a while, and they were hungry. And Jesus asked the disciples, in particular Philip, where they could buy bread to feed the multitude, and Philip basically told him they didn't have enough money to buy for all these people. And then along comes Andrew with the good memory, and he presented him with a lad with some loaves and some fishes. And see, Andrew's remembering something. If Jesus could produce an abundant supply of wine from water, he could somehow multiply a few loaves and fish into enough to feed a multitude. Andrew had this little grain of faith that he was working on here. Although he said, well, what is this among so many? Yet he said, he remembered, Jesus could do this. If he wants to, he can do this. I know he can do this. He dared to believe, and he wanted to believe, and he ended up taking part in a wonderful miracle, didn't he? 12 apostles were called, and then 70, and then more. And each of them had their different gifts, and each of them did their part. Here, Andrew found his brother Peter. What more could a person ask for than to find their brother and then to have him turn out so great as what Peter did? I mean, Andrew brought one person, Peter, but how many did Peter bring? On that day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people came out of one sermon. Andrew did pretty good for himself, didn't he? You never know who you're talking to. You don't know what that little child is capable of. You don't know what that person that looks just as filthy and, well, we used to call them hippies, you know. I don't know what they call them now, but I tell you, some of them turned out pretty good. Because when Jesus comes into your life, he transforms you from the inside out. He makes a difference. And so Andrew got into the habit of inviting people or bringing people to Jesus. And in a sense, when you bring people to church, you're hoping to bring them to Jesus. I know you are. Hopefully there'd be something, some way that if you brought them here, they would get in contact with the living God and be transformed and changed. And that's in the heart of his disciples today. You see, the apostles were given a great task to introduce Jesus to the world. And the mission has not changed today. We are the descendants or the ones now that have taken the place of the apostles and disciples of 2,000 years ago. It's been a long road and a lot of things have happened. But here we are, and this is our responsibility. We are they who are called and chosen. And now it is our task to invite people to Jesus. Now, why did these apostles follow Jesus? Why did they follow? Just so that they could be with him. There was something about Jesus that appealed to these people so greatly that they were willing to leave all that they had and just be with him. Oh my. Jesus must be something special, isn't he? They followed him that they might preach. You know, that's what they were called to. Mark 3:14, he called them so that they would preach. And he called them that they might share in Christ's miraculous ministry. He gave them power. He sent out 70 at one time, and they cast out devils, and they preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and there were all kinds of wonderful miracles done, and they were done by the power of Christ who enabled them. And Jesus will communicate, you know, to us, with us, through the Holy Spirit, and he said that greater things than this shall ye do, because I go to the Father. They followed him that they might perpetuate, that means make go on forever, his cause. I want to ask you a question today. Were the apostles a success or a failure? Did the apostles succeed in what they were commissioned to do? Do you think they did? Has Jesus come back yet? Okay, so is the work done yet? All right. They were successful in their time in spreading the gospel to as far and as wide as they possibly could do under the circumstances that they had. They don't have satellite TV. They did it sur la pied. They did it footwork. They walked. They went everywhere. They were just put in all kinds of circumstances. So if they were a failure, is there a plan B? Jesus did not anticipate failure. They were programmed to succeed. There is no plan B. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. If we don't reach our generation for Christ, they won't be reached. And there is no plan B, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What audacity that Jesus had to say that he was the only way. And we have to purvey that message to the masses. Come to Christ, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved, and you will be prepared. And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said that to the apostles. No, he's saying that to us today. Follow him. Oh, we can still follow Jesus today, and that thrill of walking in his footsteps can be ours if we dedicate ourselves to knowing him and to loving him and to sharing his message and to do the things that he did by the power that he has given us through the Holy Spirit. Were they a success or a failure? They succeeded. They are succeeding today. We shall overcome. We overcome the world by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we must be willing to die, if possible, in the service of our King. We are citizens of a republic, a representative republic, but we are also citizens of a monarchy, of a theocracy. God is our King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and we only exist as Americans today because of his grace. His grace is shed on us. We have been given this place to work from and to live in and enjoy the benefits of. All the things that America, that we enjoy about America, are ours because God shed his grace upon us. And we are to grow where we are planted. And I have this vision, and I see plants, fruit-bearing plants, and some of them have sporadic fruit on them. And that's like the church of today. But oh, when that tree is full of fruit, if I see a tree full of fruit, just oranges all over the tree or apples all over the tree, I say, well, there's a wonderful tree. Look at the fruit on that tree. And one day the church is going to bloom. And it's going to bring forth, and it's going to bring forth fruit of the Spirit, and people will look at us and want to be what we are. And how does this relate to Andrew? Well, it starts with one person. Just simply bringing what you have to Jesus. Introducing your family to Jesus. 2,000 years later, we are still on plan A. And we cannot fail. And how do you know that? Well, let's just turn to John chapter 17. I want to read you something. We got somebody on our side that's infallible. He never fails. John 17. You pray for anybody? Do you pray? Do you ask the Lord to help folks? Do you ask the Lord to bless folks? Well, we have somebody that's praying for us and has prayed for us. And here's what he said. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus has finished his work. All right. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus knew exactly who he was, what his identity was, and he had been in a pre-existent form with the Father. And he says, now I'm going back to where I was before. I have manifested thy name unto the men and women and children, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. This gets really good, and I get a thrill over the words of Jesus, because it's what I hold on to. For thou hast given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Oh boy, Jesus is praying for us. Isn't that wonderful? I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Oh no, he's not praying for Babylon. He's praying for his church. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We belong to God Almighty the Father. We are his possession. He has bought and paid for us with his own blood. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it is. All are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Is Jesus glorified in you? Good question. Is he glorified in me? And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Oh, we need prayer. We're in this world. We got to live here. These are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to a man, is he? He's talking to Almighty God the Father. And he says, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. As are we. As we are, yeah. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You think we're popular? We are not. The world hates you. If you love Jesus, he hates you. The world hates you. And they want to get rid of us. And they want to confuse us. And they want to scatter us. And they want the apostles' mission to fail. Because there is no plan B. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. He's not asking for him to remove you just yet. You've got to remain here a little while. But that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. It's an evil world. It's an evil world. And our Sabbath school lesson shows that ever it has been so. As in Daniel's day, so it is today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now he's talking about his disciples that are standing there, sitting there right beside him. He's praying for those that he has personally brought. But he's praying for us today. He's going beyond just those sitting around him. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now he's facing the cross here. That they may also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, here it is, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Somebody told somebody told somebody told somebody for 2,000 years or so. Somebody has been telling somebody, and somebody told you, and here you are today. Isn't that wonderful? That's the way it works. You tell somebody. You don't keep it to yourself. Somehow, some way, you relay a message, whether verbally or whether by your lifestyle, that you are a follower of Jesus, and hopefully that is a nice thing that they see. They see your life, and it's shining, and it's shining like a light on a hill, and it's like a tree full of fruit, desirable fruit, fruit that people want to eat, that what they want to get close to, that they want to pick, that they want. I want to be like somebody else, and that person is Jesus. And I see Jesus and that person over there, and I want to be like them. How do they get that way? Well, I must talk to them, or they must talk to me. I must know. I gotta know. Isn't that desire living and burning in your heart this morning? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to walk with Him? Do you want to learn of Him? Do you want to walk so close to Him that, that people see Jesus in you? That's what it's all about. And Andrew, bless his heart, there wasn't any too many things that that we read about him that he did miraculous, but he brought people to Jesus. He went and he brought those, remember the Greeks that came to the feast? And Philip and Andrew were approached by these Greeks. They said, "We want to see Jesus." Well, guess who went to Jesus, introduced the Greeks? Andrew. See, he knew where to get things done. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know the source of where all things come from. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And we have no power within ourselves. Without Him, we can do nothing. But what we can do, we can do. And if you can talk, and if you can write, and if you can bake, and you can sew, and you can clean, and you can do just faithful little things with a cheerful heart. That's more than a lot of people. Most people are mumblers and grumblers and complainers and just, you know. But we have this privilege of presenting Christ to the world. And let it not be said that we have that kind of a spirit that would turn them away. And that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. Ooh! Isn't that nice? That they may be one. We can be one. We can unite. We can love one another. And that bind, that glue that puts us all together and makes us strong is love. Love one another as I have loved you. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Oh, Jesus wants us to be with him. He's praying that the Father would see that we would be faithful, that he would help us find our way so that we would overcome and be with Him. He wants us to be with Him where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Isn't that great? O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. We know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He is the cornerstone, and He is the rock upon which all things consist, and He is the one to whom this church owes its very existence. Without Jesus, this is an exercise in futility, and we're just meeting here in a do-good club. But Jesus is the reason for all seasons. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. My friends, there is no plan B. And the church goes on. And the mission of the church goes on, for Jesus has not yet come. And the message of the day is, Jesus is coming soon. Let's get ready. Let's make ourselves ready. Let's sanctify ourselves. Let's ask Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit and help us to bear fruit so that this church may come into bloom and that it may be like that fruit tree, all full of fruit, a desirable tree. And this is when He will come, when the church bears fruit. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for people like Andrew that are just humble, 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 good people. And he wasn't flashy, and he wasn't anybody that wrote any great number of scriptures or did any great miracles, but he was there, and he was a catalyst, and he helped these things come to pass. Some of the greatest things that Jesus ever did was because Andrew remembered. He remembered the wedding at Cana. He remembered what you could do with little things and how you can take little things and make big things out of them. Lord, We thank you that you have not changed and that you still love us as much as you love those apostles, and that the mission goes on and that we are the ones who must carry it forth. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and come close to us and inspire us and teach us and help us to feel that call from your lips. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, we ask for a special blessing upon this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we sing 305?